Thank you. Good lively songs. Makes you feel good, and then you're all thinking, yeah, I hope you're as lively as that music was up there, so I'll try to be. I got good and fired up on the way in today, and how was y'all's drive? Were there still a lot of trucks on the, did you have anybody out in that outside lane that should be on the inside lane and it wouldn't get over? And am I the only one that gets aggravated at that? Yes, no, I'm the only one? Okay. Just me. That's what I thought in life. It's just me got picked on like that. Yes. Now, you would have to say that and just ruin my whole thing I was going to gripe about. He had to do that, and he's so right. There's just those people who just, you know, they just, that did it. Yeah, you're right. And I've got to confess my sin. I didn't pray for him. And I didn't. Well, sort of did, but I wasn't praying for him to go to heaven. That's not what I was thinking in my mind anyway. And it's like, oh, man, you got to get your attitude straightened out before you get to church. But, you know, you're in an 80-mile-an-hour zone, and this guy's going 70, and all these trucks are running up, and they're cutting in front, trying to get around, and I see him, he's just blocking it. You know, so you're having to go and finally find a way, and I was late getting here. It's like one thing after another. Followed that guy for miles, and so you know how it is. And then you go around him, and you just can't help it. You got to glare. Look in there. And there's this guy with his sunglasses, and something about the shape of the sunglasses just aggravated me more. You ever do that? I mean, it's just sunglasses, but you're already, you know, I didn't show him his IQ. I didn't do anything like that. I kept my hands on the steering wheel. I didn't make any signs or do anything, but I was thinking a lot of stuff. And this guy is driving along. And he's probably 24, 25. And I thought, that's so unusual for your age group. You know, and he wouldn't look. You know, you just kind of won't look over here. Just see me glaring at you. That makes you madder. So I went on around, and between there and here, I had to let that go so I could get in here and talk about what God wants, who's just what Ed said, the opposite of that. And you really laid one on me there. You just ruined my whole deal. I had a lot more of that story. The title, so let me get in with it. The title of this message, I didn't know what to, I really worked on this, so I just make this really, I thought, no, just say it like you're feeling it, like he's giving it to you. And so here's the title of the message today. God's got this. You know, I tried to think of all this theological stuff, and, you know, got to do better than that. And it's like, well, that's the message. God's got this. And if you want to put that beside the title, put this right here. And God's got you. So you can just say, God's got me. God's got this. All of this. You, all of us, this whole thing. He's got this. And so I want to give you this passage out of Isaiah. Been a while since I've come out of Isaiah. And then I hit one on, you know, no weapon formed against us will prosper. So I had that one. But this is great. Isaiah 41 says, so do not fear. This is the NIV I'm using, the International Version today. And so, do not fear, for I'm with you. Now listen to him. This, you say, that's Old Testament? That's still here now. And it applies so much to what's happening around us. Do not fear, for I'm with you. And do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I am your God. And I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, and all who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced, and those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Is everybody grabbing this? You need to know these verses, and you quote them when it looks like, you know, you hear this stuff on the news, and I mean, you know, it's just everywhere. No matter where you turn, it's bad, 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 getting worse. You know, it's like, you know, all who rage against you be ashamed. They'll be disgraced. Those oppose you be as nothing and perish. Listen to this. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. And those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. Why? For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I'll help you. And we're going to dissect that passage. And I've hit this, something, you know, at times when things are spooky out there in the world, and they're really spooky now. And I want you to know, I say this, I'm not one of those guys that's going out here and saying, oh, I don't believe any of this is real. Sure I do. But I'm concerned for wherever this leads. You know, I'm concerned that some folks out there are trying to make it more real than it needs to be, if you follow me. And I'm very concerned about, you know, the fear mongering that's going on. And listen, there's a place in life to where you finally just have to say, okay, what am I going to do? Am I going to just let this totally engulf me? Am I going to, in other words, be paralyzed with anxiety, stress, fear? Or am I going to do what I need to do, what I'm called to do? That's why I'm up here. I've got to do what I'm called to do. And I don't mean this, don't take, you know, how I say this. This is the way God and I talk. But there's a place to where really, then I've said this, Lord, if you're not big enough to protect me, then I'm done for anyway. And now this is different to me just walking in a mall somewhere and just goofing off. This is doing God's work. And so when you're going about God's business, if he's not big enough to take care of you, you've had it in the first place. So is he big enough to take care of you? Especially when you're about his work and you're here doing his work. What does he want you to do? He said, don't forsake assembling together. I want you to worship together. Is he big enough to protect us? Yeah. Does he want us to be wise and discerning? Of course. But not in fear. Friends, and I know I keep hitting on this in messages, but it's important because we're just being dumped with loads and loads of fear. And I was watching this, and I finally was able to watch that movie, the Midway. The new release of Midway. Everybody seen it? Yeah. Do y'all do anything? I mean, do you watch anything or besides pick tomatoes or stuff like that? Okay. But I have to have stress relief. I hear so much. People call so much. And that's my stress relief. And, the new release of Midway is a pretty good movie. But there's this kid on board the aircraft carrier. Of course, you know, Midway was a real battle. And a major, major thing in World War II in the Pacific, just 6 months after Pearl Harbor. And here we go and do something that to me was an act of God. You know, our little beat up naval force takes out four of the mainline Japanese carriers, which gave us entry into the Pacific to keep them from coming over here. We don't realize how close they were to here. And they were very close. And that, some of you may not know, the Japanese actually did get on American territory in Attu and Kiska Islands. My dad fought there. And he fought in Attu and Kiska. And then he was in the Battle of the Bulge and all of that. And so it was just, you know, quite a deal. But anyway, I was watching that. And there was this kid and this Japanese bomber. They had been hit. And they decided, like they would do, they were just going to fly into the aircraft carrier. And the gunners on board the aircraft carrier are missing this thing. And they're diving in towards the ship. And this kid, he's a tail gunner and one of those dive bombers. He jumps in his plane and swivels down his gun around. And he's firing from that plane sitting on the deck of the aircraft carrier. And he hits the bomber. And he hits it and deflects it enough to where it comes and veers off and shears off the tail of that plane that he's firing from. And then it flops over in the ocean and spins his plane around and doesn't take it over. And I thought, is that bravery? I mean, that's something, right? But here's what I got from it, because the kid was asked later, How did you do that? How do you do those things? He said, it's like this. I had this uncle, and he worked and built these big high-rise things and walked these girders and stuff up there, you know, hundreds of feet in the air with no ropes, nothing attached, and never had a problem. And then he said he's on his way home from church one day, and a taxi cab jumps the curb and runs over him. And it's like, so? He said, I got it from this, you know? You never know what can happen. You don't know when it's going to happen, so why worry about it? And I thought, you know what? How true that is for every one of us. What in the world are we doing worried about our destiny, when it's going to happen? I mean, the guy, and it was that was so incredible. And that's what the kid was saying. I don't worry about it. When if it's my time, it's my time. And if it's not, it's not. And I'm not going to just stop. You don't go out and do stuff to just test that. But it's simply you do what you got to do. And, you know, you can be walking out there hundreds of feet in the air and never fall. And then a cab run over you. And that's life, isn't it? Really? I mean, and so why are we running in fear? And why do we let people panic us? And I don't mean you here, but just out here. This is the word that I'm giving you this today, not so much just for you here, but for you to take out to people and share these things and say, what are you really afraid of? God's got this. God's got you. You know, and the enemy wants you to panic, and there's certain groups out here who want us afraid. They want us panicked up to the hilt, and they want us hiding behind walls. And it's like, yeah, that sounds like, does that sound like the devil, the enemy? He's always wanted God's people to run in fear. If he can get you running in fear, you'll run into something. You'll fall down, you'll hurt you, you'll trip, you'll make mistakes. So the first point in this message is, and that's what it says, do not fear. That's the first point. We are actually just really dissecting this passage we just read. And so it's don't give in to fear. No matter what, don't give in to it. No matter what they're saying and how bad it is, you can acknowledge that and say, for one, we don't know all the facts. When something's making you fearful, realize fear deals a whole lot, not with facts, but with what? Feelings. We seldom know all the facts. We don't know all the facts about what's going on. And I'm not, hear me, I'm not on a conspiracy thing. This is not my thing. I don't want to play that game. That's another place. We can talk about that anytime on the phone or outside of here. But here's what I'm saying this morning. We don't know how many of the reported deaths and so forth were actually from this or from other things. And they said it was this. You know, in other words, we're living in a society that it's all about money and maneuvering. So, but hasn't it always been in one way or another? And so what I'm saying with you, he says, I am with you. And that's the thing, no matter what you feel, and whether it's COVID or somebody's after you or whatever, even if you think you see a tornado funnel out there and you don't know what to do. Well, you find the safest place in your house and you get in it, right? But then you can quote this verse, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. And it's like, look, Lord, I'm doing everything I can. I'm in the safest place in my house. But you know what? If it's not my day, it's not going to happen. And if it is, there's nothing I can do to prevent it. And I'm going to trust you. And if we could live that way, look what we could accomplish. Look what we could accomplish. Look what you could do. Some of you are meant to do a lot more than you're doing. Some of you should be running some kind of business or you're doing something else and you've been afraid and somebody told you a long time ago, you can't do that. You'll go broke. And that doesn't work. You know, certain percentage of whatever of these startups fail. So if that's on your heart and that's what God has been prompting you to do, or maybe you wanted to style hair. I don't, but maybe you have. And if that's your, say, I always want to be a hairstylist. It could, you know, you could, you want somebody to style your hair. I notice he's getting a little fluff over there and you know, but maybe that's what you wanted to do. And you said, well, yeah, but is that what you want to do? Was that really in your heart? What are you doing? You don't have to quit everything. Do it part-time. Just get some training. In other words, you know, we let fear keep us from doing those things that God's put in your heart to do. You with me? Do you ever think, after all the years of doing what I'm doing, do you ever think that I still have certain anxieties and stresses over it? You don't? No, I sound confident to you and just like I got this together. Yeah. 30-some-odd years of it, and the old man's got it, right? There are some Saturday nights I don't go to sleep till 2 or 2:30 in the morning. You know why? I keep going over the outline and thinking, I could do this better. Did I study enough? Do I have enough notes? Is the scriptures right? Is this going to be received well? God, you know, is there anything in my, listen to this, I do this. Is there anything in my life? Is there anything with me that will keep them from receiving that message? That's the anxiety that I go through. And is there any expression? Is there something I'm doing? Hopefully I don't do something weird like picking my nose or anything like that while I'm talking. But you know what I mean? There's things we do and we don't realize it. And I'm praying to God, you know, it's like keep me straight where nothing interferes. And you say, is that important? Absolutely. Because we know how easy it is to be distracted. And I had the dermatologist, you know, last week, he burned a big old place off my, froze off my ear. And there was this big thing up there. And I thought, oh, God, please take that off. I have to get up there on Sunday. I don't want to get up there and there's this blob on my ear. It's like everybody, you can't help it, right? If I was sitting there, I'd go, look at that blob on his ear. And I don't want to, I want you to get this word. It's not for me, it's for God and what God wants. And so it's like, do I have trouble sleeping on Saturday night? Every Saturday night. It's not a fear of bringing this word. It's that struggle with them already. Is everything prepared? Is my head right? Is my heart right? And then I know I'm going to drive in and get upset with somebody on I-10 after all of that. So I finally go to sleep and I get up here and I laugh about I-10. I don't really get that upset, but it does aggravate me. And then somebody cuts you off in traffic. Why can't they put missiles on vehicles? Anyway, that's just a thought that I've had once or twice. Anyway, so don't give in to fear. And here's the two things I want you to get from this. He says, I am with you. I am with you. And so as you go through this week, as you go leave here today, you may be encountered with something that makes you afraid. There may be something weird happening out there. Maybe you get a phone call. I don't know. I pray you don't. But somebody says something or threatens you or you get some hang up and, you know, somebody calls and hangs up, whatever. It's something that makes you, you just start getting that creepy crawly feeling. You grab Isaiah and you say, what did God say to me? Do not fear. I am with you. Don't be dismayed. That word literally means discouraged. You know, for I'm with you. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And remember what Jesus said. See, this is Old Testament here. You say, but okay, well, did it come forward in the New Testament? Jesus brought this Old Testament stuff straight at us when his life. He said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you and ask whatever you wish and it'll be given to you. And what did he say? No one. And he says all that and he says, no one can pluck you out of my hand. Nobody can take you out of my hand. You realize that? You need to say that. You know, God, you said, do not fear. I'm with you. And Jesus said the same thing. Isn't that what he's saying? In different words? Don't fear. I've got you in my hand. And then he went on to say, hey, he said, if that's not good enough, then my Father, who's greater than I am, you know, he has you and nobody can get you out of his hand. So when you get afraid, when you become afraid and all this stuff's happening and you're watching all this junk and you know, tearing down statues and doing stuff and rioting and all the crud along with just the fear, am I going to get something? I mean, you know, God keep me healthy and all that. Jesus said, I got you in the palm of my hand. You're always before me. I'll never forget you. Your time is in God's hands. Your life is in his hands. What is your body? God's temple. And I've even said to God, Lord, if you want to make us sick, you can make us sick, but this is your temple. And I need this body to do your work. I got to get up there. I got to drive. I got to get up there and do it. Think about that. Your body belongs to him. It's the temple. Your body's the temple, living God, temple of the Holy Spirit. So claim that my body is your temple and you want this temple in good shape, don't you? Yeah. Yeah. Now that means you might want to lay off two or three pies during the week and just, you know, eat one and some, you know, and maybe not six buckets of ice cream or whatever. Speaking of that, on that dessert thing, wouldn't homemade ice cream be nice? For the 4th of July. Does anybody here still make homemade ice cream? Oh. There would be special blessings for you if you... 3 tomatoes if you make that. That's just 4th of July weekend stuff, right? Okay, anyway. So, you know, the whole point is there's nothing out here that God doesn't know, right? And he knows if some car's going to weave over and really get close, and it's going to be a close call. He knows that already. It's like, God, you knew this, and you already had your angels here. If you begin to live that way and see him at work and see his angels protecting you, you can go out here and do whatever you need, whatever he wants you to do. There's a time. And I was trying to figure out last night, okay, and I'm trying to figure out now, how do I say this just right? You know, we laugh about this stuff, and I keep it general, but let's get real specific. There's a time that every Christian is required to confront another Christian in love. Everybody with me? That person's hurting you, hurting someone you love, and you know that for a fact. You're eyewitness, whatever. There's a time that you need to address the problem. And many times we don't do that because we let the fear of what they might say or do, reprisal, keep us from doing what God told us to do. He said, if you're on your way to the altar, if you're on your way to give a gift, even give your offering, whatever, your tithe, and you remember that somebody has something against you, he said, just stop, lay it down, and go and be reconciled. And that takes courage. And it takes a tremendous amount of God's Spirit boldness and humility, because you don't want to judge, but to sit down and say, you know, that behavior hurts. It's hurt my family, or it hurts me, or you're hurting your own family. And I'm not here to judge you. I'm here to say I want to help you. How can we help you overcome this? Or however God leads you, with me? But there's a time to say, we must confront this behavior. We must talk about these words. And it's not hammering your fist down and judging somebody. But it takes a tremendous amount of courage to love. What courage does it take to be mad and hate? None. But it takes a tremendous amount of courage to love and to say, you know, let's talk about this little thing that happened or this big thing, this event. Just talk about it. And you know what? It takes a tremendous amount of courage to walk up to someone, even when you feel like that they started the thing, and look them in the eye and just stop the whole thing by saying, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. I ask your forgiveness. That whole thing happened. You're not taking it all on yourself. You're taking it on yourself to end it, to fix it. Now that takes courage. And God says, if you'll do it, I'm with you. And you'll walk out of that knowing that you have the blessings of God upon you because you did it His way. And you didn't accuse anybody. You just, and there's been times it's like, Pastor, have you had to do that? Are you kidding me? I've lost count. Is it fun? No. And I've struggled with God saying, I didn't start that. I didn't make any accusations. They said ugly stuff about me, and it's like, get it right. And I've had to say once in a while, I'm really sorry that there's been a conflict. Ask your forgiveness for the whole thing. Let's start over. Once in a while, I've had people look at me and say things I can't repeat. But most often, they kind of break. And we gain relationship again. Maybe not like it was, but enough to keep going. Have there been times when God has said, don't do anything, they're not ready? Yes. So enough on this. So don't fear. Whatever it is you have to confront, whatever it is you've got to do. See, this is, we can say COVID and all this stuff, but that's out. That's out and around. We don't know what's going on. But we're talking about the personal dealing. And husbands and wives sometimes need to sit down. And they just have to sit down and say, you know, that argument we had, that thing, and some harsh words were said, and I'm sorry. Even if you're sitting there thinking, I didn't say the first ugly word. That's human nature, right? Well, you said it to me. No, I'm sorry. Just sorry for the whole thing. I wonder how many homes would be healed and how many marriages could be saved. I just wonder. So let's you know, we can't stay on this all day. So let's look at the next point. Don't be dismayed. And that's what he's saying is don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged when stuff goes wrong. Don't be discouraged when your plans go south. When what you thought was going to happen today doesn't happen. You know why that stuff goes on? One thing is just life. But secondly, a lot of times I have my plans and God has His. And I tell Him I'm His servant, but I'm going to do this today. I'm your servant, Lord, but this is what I'm going to accomplish for you. There, for you. And God is saying, you my temple? Are you my servant? Then I can change the plans. And I'll let this happen or that happen, and your whole day just goes south for you, but it's going straight for Him. The old military adage, and it was always true, no battle plan survives the first shot. We made our plans. We drew them in sand. We had all this stuff, and no battle plan ever survived the first, right out of the box. You know why? Because they never did what we said they were going to do. How many times in your own life have you seen your battle plan for the day or the week go south? You ever planned the vacation and had it in your mind all the stuff that you were going to do and how it's all going to work out? Then you get out there and find out that somebody else had other plans here, I guess. How many times have y'all had that happen? Do you think maybe God was teaching you something and saying, lighten up, trust me, I am your God? Look what He says. Don't be dismayed. Don't be discouraged no matter what you hear. And by the way, just get ready. You're going to hear a lot more stuff. This is not a gloom and doom, simply common sense. If you're going to hear more stuff the closer we get to the fall and into it. You're going to hear all kinds of things. Just expect it. We're in a war, friends, and it's immense. And so our God's bigger, and you just trust Him, but you'll hear so much junk coming out before this election happens. No, oh, my Lord. On both sides, everywhere. Just don't be discouraged. Keep this in mind no matter what happens. He says, I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you, and I will hold you up with my right hand. What more do you need? No matter what. And you can carry this with you. Put it on a card. Just keep it with you in your vehicle, and you can just read this. That's what he says right in this verse. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you with my right hand. I'm going to hold you up with my right hand. God, listen, God is here. He died for you in the form of Jesus Christ and rose again. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God the Father, and He's interceding, and He's saying, God, that's my people. And they sinned. Yes, they said this. They did that. They totally blew it today. But their name's in my book, and I forgive them. They're covered in my blood. And God says, justified. Forgiven. My grace is sufficient. And here we are in the midst of these millions and millions of people. And we're crying out, does God listen to little old me, little old you? You better believe it. He hears your prayer. He hears your cry. He knows your pain and distress and your struggles and your confusion and your worries and your doubts. You know, that all comes in the whole human package. And He knows. And He loves you anyway. And it doesn't change His word. He's still your God. He's still strengthening you. He still helps you. And He still holds you up with His right hand. Now, that's good stuff, isn't it? No matter what. And so, I had a title here and I changed it. Because the third point was, what about the bad guys? And I thought, oh, okay. Well. but God will, and so I made this one a little more. God will deal with your enemies. I lightened it up. But I was just thinking, what about the bad guys out there? What's going to happen to them? God, listen, take this point and know, no matter what you're confronting at work, in your personal life, no matter what, God will deal with your enemies. He promises. Here's what he says, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance. Listen to this. You keep this. Know this. See, we're talking about love over here on one side, but God says this. This is what Paul wrote in Romans. He said, here's the way the Lord works for his people. Vengeance is mine. I will repay. He didn't say, I might, or I'll think about it. God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He said, don't give in to your wrath. Don't you try to take vengeance, is what he's saying. That doesn't mean you don't protect yourself, you don't take precautions and all that stuff. It's not what he's saying. He's saying, just don't go out and try to take vengeance. He said, I'll do it. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. And this is where we get into the verse that nobody likes. It's true. I say nobody. Very few people like what I'm about to read. You say, do you like it? No. But it's there and I have to do it. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. Now, admit your humanity. It's like, yeah, I'll feed him, all right. Rat poison. I'm, you know. Really, that's human nature, right? Yeah, I'll feed him, all right. No, he says, don't give place to wrath. Don't seek vengeance. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I'll repay. And he said, this is what I want you to do. If your enemy's hungry, you feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. You say, I know this stuff, but this is tough. Who wants to do? Nobody wants to do that. It's when we're compelled to do that because of the love of Christ in our lives. Is this normal human nature? No. Our normal human nature is to strike back. He says, but if you'll give him food when he's hungry, well, you know what he's saying? If you'll treat him like I treat him, because it rains on the just and the unjust, if you treat him like I treat him, you'll heap burning coals on their head. What does that mean? They'll get convicted. It'll bring guilt to them because they can't defeat you. Don't you see that? He says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Here's what he's saying. When people mess with you, when they hurt you, and you're still nice to them, he's saying, you don't give them anywhere to turn. Don't you see what people are trying to do to you? They want you on their level, and God wants you to stay on His. People try to get you mad, and they aggravate you, they irritate you. And by the way, I've seen it in families doing it. It's like, stop that. Stop irritating each other. Because they're trying to get you on their level. Many people feel, and they do, they gain control if they can get you mad. And so if you refuse to be mad, I mean, you have your moment, but stay on the high road. And you do what God wants you to do. You're not being weak. You're not giving in. You're not letting them run over you. That's not what he's saying to do. He's saying, take the high road. Don't give in to wrath. If somebody's aggravating, you know they're pushing you. And they're just trying to get you to blow up and have a spell. They got you. They accomplished what they wanted. That's what the devil does all the time. He aggravates you with things happening. And you start having a spell. Well, I do once in a while. Anybody else in here have one? And then you have it and you know it was the wrong thing as soon as you have it, right? You think it's going to feel good to throw a fit. It does just as you start. And then it's like, how tall do you feel when after about like that? And you realize, I gave in to it again. How many of you have lost count on how many times you've given in to it? Okay, thank you. Okay, yeah. But when you take the high road, which is a hard road to take, but you take it because God is with you and He holds you in the palm of His hand and nothing can defeat you, right? You're more than a conqueror in Christ in everything. And you take the high road and you say, I'm not going to let you make me mad today. And that attitude of, you know what? I'm going to go get tomatoes and give them to you. Now, don't take that wrong. I didn't give anybody tomatoes here this morning because your enemies, okay? You know, I wouldn't do that because I know you'd throw them, okay? So, but the point being, you see what he's saying? Does God still give food to nasty people? Yeah. Does it still rain on them just like it does? I mean, everything. Do you ever get mad about that sometimes? You can name some people. I won't call in names here. But you can name some people out there, and it's like, Why do they still keep going? Making all their millions? Just like nothing ever happened. The problem is God's saying, because I'm giving them all that I can to repent, because hell is for eternity. And God doesn't want his creation, even the meanest ones, to be in hell. He doesn't want that, and we shouldn't either. Even though we've told a few of them they could go there in life. We really, God doesn't want that. And so all he's saying is, when you have the attitude of, I'm still going to be nice to you, I'm not going to let you run over me, but I'm going to be nice to you, I'm still going to wave at you, I'll still greet you when I see you, and all that kind of thing. You know what he's saying? He's saying every time you do that, you are becoming a spiritual giant. You are growing into my kingdom. You are becoming like my son, Jesus Christ. You are overcoming the world because of Jesus, who's greater in you than he that's in the world. And you can take that and say, yeah, yeah. I didn't give in to it today. Thank you, God. I'm growing in the Lord. I'm becoming the spiritual giant that God put me here to be. And that's what you are. We relegate ourselves to being little pygmies, little spiritual nothings. Are you kidding me? You're spiritual giants. You have the prayer, the faith, if you just exercise it, to move mountains. That's a powerful. Think about it. You have the power of God in Jesus Christ in me, my hope of glory, right? In all of us? What kind of power is that? We just don't realize it. Tap into it. You have the well of what? Eternal life and living water of the Holy Spirit flow. And Jesus wants us to flow out the Spirit as rivers of living water, giving life all around you. How powerful is that? That's why I didn't want you mad. I don't want you to go to being angry, because it grieves. It shuts off the water. You see how incredible this is? God's got this. So he says, those who turn against you, by the way, I'm closing. This is in closing. Got to wrap this up. He says, I'll deal with your enemies, and those who turn against you will be ashamed. That's what he says in this verse. I'll make those that rage against you ashamed. I'm going to shame them if you'll just take the high road. I'll disgrace them. They'll become as nothing. That's exactly what his word says. You don't have to do it. He'll do it. And the ones that strive, that means literally in the Greek, go against you, will perish. What? He said, I'll take them out. Sooner or later, they'll perish. Is that serious? I'd say that's wrath. And the ones who war with you, attack you, will be nothing. And listen to this. You got to read what he says. It's serious. They'll cease to exist. That's what that literally means. And they won't be here. I'll make sure that they don't have any power, no authority. You just take the high road. And that's what God is saying. He said, I got this. I got you. So this is it. And then wrapping this up, and then we'll go right in the Lord's Supper here. Here's what he wants you to close with. I close with what I started with. Don't you forget this. God's got it, and he's got you. And you say that in everything. God's got it. God's got this. He has it. He's got it. And he's got me. And I don't have anything to worry about, because I'm in the arms of the loving, all-powerful, almighty God. And I have the power of Jesus Christ in me, my hope of glory. And it says I am more than a conqueror. Hey, what am I sitting here worried about? God's got this. He's got it. He's got you. And so fear not. Fear not, he says. Fear. Do not fear. I will help you. And you take that with you. You put your hope in it. And no matter what's going on, God's got this. He's got me. And he says, fear not. I will help you. And that's the promise of God. We strike the gavel and say, done. Done. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you've got this. You've got us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be mad at people. We can take the high road, not because we're weak, but because we're strong in the Lord. Because Jesus in us is greater than he that's in the world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God, lift up your people to you. Now pray the power and authority of Jesus Christ over us and in us and through us, that your spirit would fill and overflow us as rivers of living water. And whatever need, whatever thing, whatever hurt, pain, sorrow, whatever financial difficulties presented here today, God asks you to meet that in abundance. In abundance. That we then can go and have so much we can meet other needs. And we can just take that high road and be who you put us here to be. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Amen.